Anyone who's late will have to pay €5. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Mukhalaye Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Eti Nam Jaya Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravane Vacharangayate Nirvisesha Sunyavade Asyachare Svatarinayake Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidara Sri Vatsadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bo, 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 Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bharatakacharya Alstatada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abaya Chalanada Bhattavananda Gosami Maharshila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Vran se koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadapasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimari Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so Om Maganati Madandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yenatas Mai Shigurvena Maha. So what we're doing today briefly is the disciple course, and for those of you who haven't attended any of the sessions before, translations going on, all right? Okay. We've actually broken this up into two parts. One part is for all the devotees, anyone who wants to attend. The second part is for the so-called select group of devotees, the 20 devotees who will be taking the course and getting certification and have their little handbooks, the disciple course student handbook. So everyone's welcome to attend the first part. The second part will be given as long as it doesn't rain down there in the auditorium or whatever you call it down there. After we take a 10-minute break, when I'm finished with my part of this session, the second part will be hosted, facilitated by Manjari Gopi, who will be going through the exercises. I'm going to be giving the philosophical, practical explanations for everything, and then we're going to have exercises to sort of cement the understanding within our little brains. Okay, so this particular section is called Selecting a Guru. It's a very interesting section. And there's a lot of bad ways to select gurus and bona fide ways to select gurus. One way that's not so good is you go on the internet and Google a name, and you take all the pictures and put it on your wall, and you recite this prayer. Guru, guru on the wall, who's the last one to fall? No, anyway, don't do that one. Or another one is, catch a guru by the toe, if he hollers, let him go. Don't use that technique either. Another way, an unbona fide technique, would be to stick pins into all the prospective gurus, and the one who's on the Brahma Bhuta platform is the one who doesn't scream. Unfortunately, in the meantime, you probably committed offenses against a bunch of nice Vaishnavas by sticking pins in them. Okay, so we're going to go over how to select a guru. So there's qualifications that have been mentioned by our acharyas and in the Vaishnav Vedic literatures. And the one we're probably most familiar with is from the Upadeshamrita, which is Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yovacha Heta Dira Sarvam Apimam Pratibhimsa Shishat, and the translation is that a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So that's really an essential quality, even of a disciple, or one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, is that we will have so many urges and pushings from these different aspects of our physical and mental self, because we have a gross material body and a subtle material body. And one just has to learn to tolerate. Tolerate means that you just go on doing your service. Tate nukampam sumakshimana bhunjanivatma kritam vipakam ridbhag bapuravir vidanam namaste jivetiyo mukti pude sudayabhak. That one tolerates not only the happiness that comes from the senses and the mind, but the distress, because both things will occur. And if one simply goes on serving Krishna and remains steady, nishta, in spite of these positive, negative, happy, distressed things, that's a quality of a disciple and a quality of a bona fide guru, and one can observe that in someone. One can observe whether someone is predictable. That's a very important word, predictable. You understand? Nishta means predictable. That's our observation. That we know that, for example, someone who is not controlled by, who is controlled, I'm sorry, by the pushings, sometimes they'll be in a bad mood and sometimes in a good mood. You ever heard this saying, if so-and-so woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, don't go near him because he's in a bad mood. Or don't go near him because he hasn't eaten yet this morning. When he eats, he'll be very nice. So, of course, that's all internal pushings from the sugar in the body. So a bona fide spiritual master has to be aloof from all those things, at least steady, predictable, in spite of whatever's happening with the body. So, and there's other statements, too, that allow us or give us some guidance in choosing a bona fide guru. I mean, there's another famous one from the Mandaka Upanishad. Tadviganartam sa gurumeva vigachet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. And I think most of you are familiar with this one. I cited it in the first few days of the course, that viganartam means it is essential. Avigachet means that's the imperative in Sanskrit. Imperative means you must do. So tadviganartam, if one wants the artha, the goal of a vijnana, realization, he must, avigachet, accept a guru, and the guru, to be bona fide, has to be samit pani. Samit means like wood, pani means hands. So in other words, he's carrying wood to his spiritual master, which was the traditional aspect of being a brahmachari, because the spiritual master was doing fire sacrifices. So he's carrying wood to the spiritual master in a very humble way. Even Krishna, when he appeared 5,000 years ago, served his spiritual master in the same way, in a very humble way. So he's serving very humbly his spiritual master. That's the indirect meaning of samitpani. And shrotriyam, he is heard nicely, and he repeats in his own words without mental speculation the words of his spiritual master. And brahma nishtam, there's that nishta again, which means predictable, steady, like that. So he's fixed. That's it. It's actually a stage in devotional service, ado, shraddhata, sadhu sangota, etc., that one becomes steady in his performance of sadhana. There's two types of nishta, actually, I should mention this. One is nishta in sadhana, and the other one is nishta throughout the rest of the day. So many people are very fixed in their sadhana, but throughout the rest of the day, they're in maya. So nishta refers to 24/7. Remember that. 24/7. Not that after the morning program's over, the guru goes to the cinema. It's not really the thing. So this is the translation. To understand these things properly, one must humbly approach with firewood in hand a spiritual master who is learned in the Vedas and firmly devoted to the absolute truth. Okay, it's Mundaka Upanishads. And there's other qualities mentioned here. Achar. For those of you, no one here is from India, I don't think. Yeah, wait. Achar doesn't mean some fancy, like, mango pickles. In India, if you say, I want some achar on this food, it means I want a mango pickle. Achar means behavior. Prachar means speaking. So we have both of these things, speak nicely and behave nicely. Simultaneously perform both duties, that is speaking and acting, in relation to your holy name by your personal behavior, by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, and you are the most advanced devotee in the world. Different qualities like this. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the purport, Prabhupada says, the qualifications expressed in this connection are that one must act according to the scriptural injunctions at the same time preach. One who does so is a bona fide spiritual master. Not only scriptural injunctions, but also the order of his guru. And here's an interesting statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shitrikena naya krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Which is that it doesn't really matter. Whoops. It doesn't really matter what one's material qualifications are or caste before one comes to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter even the activities that one did before one became Krishna conscious. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani states that if we criticize a Vaishnava because of previous sinful activities, that is a great offense. Or because of present reactions to previous activities. Or because of bodily deformities. It is a great offense if we do that with a Vaishnava. So when we're looking for a spiritual master, we do not think that someone who is born in a Brahmin family is necessarily better than someone who is born in the West. Although you will have people coming from India who are born in Brahmin families, and they will tell you that I was born in a Brahmin family, I was born in Braj, and so you should accept me as a spiritual master and not accept this Western Malecha guy. I mean, even I've had someone refer to us Western Vaishnavas. Actually, that's a contradiction, because a Vaishnava is not Western or Eastern. But I've had someone refer to us people who have bodies that came from the West as kangaroos rather than gurus. I don't know if you know what a kangaroo is. It's that little thing that hops around, or big thing. They're pretty big. I mean, in Australia, they get about that tall, and they can kill you with one punch. So, I've been called a kangaroo, in fact, by some illustrious Gaudiya Vaishnava. And I may be, but at least my godbrothers are not. So, in other words, we're not concerned with someone's caste, background, color of skin, or even here something more controversial, whether someone is a man, male body, or a woman's body. That may be a little controversial for you. Because there's many ladies or people in ladies' bodies who are bona fide gurus in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gangamata Goswamini, this one lady called Krishnapriya. I mean, you can go through the whole chain of disciplic succession. And if you actually look at all the branches, you'll see that roughly 40% of the gurus are ladies. That may come as a shock to all of you. And as a shock to some of our Western members of the International... Indian members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, not to alienate all you men, some of you men can become gurus too. So... And actually, in relationship to Krishna, what are we? Does anyone know? Yeah, we're Prakriti. Krishna's Purusha. So you better get used to it. Okay. So we don't consider these bodily distinctions when choosing a guru. And here is an interesting statement that Srila Prabhupada made. Even without qualifications, one can become a spiritual master. How? Now the process is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amaragyai on my order. That is the crucial point. One does not become spiritual master by his own whims. That is no spiritual master. He must be ordered by superior authority. Now, the Ritviks actually state sometimes, or question us sometimes, say, where did you get Prabhupada's order to become guru? They asked me that a number of times. Sometimes we go to different festivals like Rath Yatra. Here your Rath Yatra is kind of nice. You don't have anybody opposing you. But if you go to Rath Yatra in New York or California, you've got the Christians with their little banners there saying, repent, you're going to hell. And then you have the Ritviks with their banners saying, repent, you're going to hell, and passing out their Ritvik literature. And, you know, they talk to me all the time because I happen to be one of the people they consider to be a demon. And so they say, where did you get Prabhupada's order? And I state there's letters from Prabhupada where Prabhupada said he wanted all of his disciples, both men and women, if they became qualified, to become gurus. Prabhupada said he wanted an army of gurus. So the order is there. The order is there by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must become guru. I was just reading a very interesting essay written by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The name of the essay is Humbler Than a Blade of Grass. Some of you may have read that essay. And it's during his Vyasa Puja ceremony. He actually says, you know, what am I doing? What kind of a brute am I to be standing out in front of all of you and listening to my praises? But he said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. You become guru. And he said, even if I'm committing offenses, you know, being prideful by following the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is my duty to follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya stated this, Amara gyai guru hoy tore desh, yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh. That everyone should become, have this focused in their mind that they want to become gurus. I mean, maybe not initiating gurus, but at least siksha gurus. But siksha is more important than diksha in any case. Everyone should think like that. I want to take care of people, bring people to Krishna consciousness, bring people to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So it's an aspiration that every single one of you should have. And it's a very inspiring aspiration. Prabhupada said, quoting the verse that I just quoted, Many spiritual master, Amara Gyai, just like in our case, our superior authority, our spiritual master, he ordered me that you just try to preach this gospel, whatever you have learned from me, in English. So we have tried it. That's all. Very simple. Okay. All right. Therefore, the process is before accepting a guru, one must hear him at least for 1 year. And when he's convinced that here is actually a guru who can teach me, then you accept him guru. Don't accept whimsically. In other words, the traditional Vedic system is that one would live in the ashram of the spiritual master for a year and actually be observed, be tested by the guru, and one would observe the guru to see if he wanted to accept the guru. I mean, in addition to the spiritual qualities which we mentioned before, there's actually some personal things you got to look for, which is basically compatibility. Compatibility means that there's open communication. Two things that I wanted to mention that are not here on the slides is that you actually feel comfortable revealing your mind and taking instructions from that particular individual. And secondly, there's opportunity to do that. You should have at least have some communication nowadays by email, open communication by email. But if there's no communication at all, what does it mean to accept the guru or a guru? There has to be back and forth, tadvini, pratipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya. It means to learn the truth, you have to ask questions, inquire submissively. So there has to be two-way communication. It's not just like the shakti of the guru is upon me. You know, that's almost a Mayavadi conception, which we mentioned in the beginning of the course, that the shakti comes down like that. Anyway, so nowadays, of course, you can't stay in the ashram of the guru for a whole year and test him. So there's other methods. You can listen on the internet. Practically every guru has his classes on iskondesiretree.com. Has anyone heard of that before? And you can listen, you can hear about his activities, you go on his Facebook page. I mean, and with the internet, we're practically more connected than through any other means that I know of. You can go on Mayapur TV and see him giving classes. and you can write to him. I mean, but there should be communication and examination. You don't want to accept the guru on hereditary basis. You don't want to accept him because, you know, he's either handsome in the case of a man, or beautiful in the case of a lady, or because he has sparks flying from his hair, or some material. I mean, devotees have all these different reasons. You know, whenever I see him, I just faint in ecstasy. Well, you also did that with the Beatles. So we cannot distinguish matter from spirit because we're conditioned souls. Sometimes we see something that's really inspiring to us, but it's completely mundane. And sometimes we see something that's not inspiring to us, but it's completely spiritual. Like, for example, austerities are not inspiring to us. You know, if I say an ekadasi, you've got to give up this, give up this, give up that. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I was looking at Chaturmasya, which begins in a few days. And you know what the first austerity is? What? No spinach. And for me, that's like going to hell not to eat spinach or greens or things like that. So I'm not inspired by it, but I know it's spiritual. That's the difference between the intelligence and the mind. So we have to use our intelligence, not simply our emotions. Our emotions have misled us for many, many births. Okay. So here's the same thing. The scriptures say the disciple and spiritual master should place each other under strict scrutiny. That's a heavy word. Before mutual acceptance, since even ordinary household items are tested before acquisition. In other words, before you buy something, nowadays you go on the internet and look to see what people say about it. Don't you do that? I do that. There's this website called Amazon.com. Anyone's heard of it before? No. And you just see what people have said. This product stinks. Of course, people shouldn't be saying that about a guru. This guru stinks. But you should. You know, you should take the time to research before you make the most important decision in this life, basically. It's more important than who you choose to get married to. Because marriage is one lifetime. Of course, if you're really in love, you can many lifetimes. Back and forth. I know people who are very attached, and the man becomes a woman becomes a man, vice versa, vice versa, vice versa. But with the relationship with the guru, it's something janme janme prabhu say, which is many, many lifetimes. So we should test, observe, is this the right person? Do I have the right communication? Is he on the right platform? Is he faithful to his guru? Is he serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Probably that's the most essential thing. Is he following the order of Srila Prabhupada, which means to serve with an ISKCON? And then, after this testing period, I mean, I'll give you the example of Narottamadas Thakur. Does anyone remember who his spiritual master is? It starts with an L. What? Loganath Goswami. So, Narottamadas Thakur went to Vrindavan, and he went to Lokanath Goswami and he said, will you become my guru? And Lokanath Goswami, even he had Lord Chaitanya's order, but Lokanath Goswami said, I've taken a vow, no disciples, go find someone else. So he was tested, Narottamadas Thakur. Does anyone remember how he was tested? What did he do? Yeah. He cleaned what's called a latrine. That's a place where Loganath Goswami was passing, whatever. When Loganath Maharaj was not looking, he was cleaning it. And one day, Loganath Goswami looked out to see what was happening, and he saw his Loganath. He saw that it was Narottamadas Thakur. And then after passing that test, he was given initiation to see if he was a bona fide. So that's a bona fide disciple, serving humbly his spiritual master. And you never give up that mood. It's not that now my guru has left this world. What do they say? When the cat's away, the mice will play. Or when the guru's away, the new gurus will play. It's not like that. That we're always humble servants of our guru. Never stops. Must not bring upon himself the calamity of having to reject his spiritual master. That is, if one chooses the wrong person, someone who's not Krishna conscious. If one is prudent, he can avoid such a situation. So we should be extremely, extremely cautious. Prabhupada waited 11 years. Of course, he accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur immediately as his guru, but as far as initiation, it was 11 years before he took initiation. So just we should be very, very, very careful. There's no rush. You're still chanting Hare Krishna. You're still connected with Krishna in the meantime. Here's the ISKCON law from the law book. In other words, it's our responsibility to pick the guru using our own intelligence. No one can pick the guru for us, not our friends. And don't give in to canvassing. Does everyone know what canvassing is? Like sometimes you may find some gurus even canvassing in different ways. You know, become my disciple. Here's the benefits, the fringe benefits of becoming my disciple. Actually, it's very important for the guru not to try to collect many disciples. One should not be enthusiastic about having many disciples. This is from Nectar of Devotion. One should choose qualified disciples. So it's our responsibility. We can't blame anyone else. When Prabhupada left the planet, there were the zonal acharya system was there, which was not Prabhupada's plan. And at that point, people were actually forced to accept a particular guru in a particular zone. I don't know, some of you may remember those days. Like if you wanted to accept another guru who wasn't the acharya of the zone, which was not really what Prabhupada wanted, you were excommunicated. You were kicked out of the zone. And if another guru wanted to go into the zone of another guru, he needed a visa. I mentioned that previously. That one time I went to Texas without a visa. Texas is a state in the United States. And I got a call from the guru. What are you doing in my zone? And I said, Hare Krishna. So use your intelligence in choosing a guru. Not just your emotions. And only after you develop faith in that devotee and your ability and your faith in them for them to be able to take you back to Godhead. Is there some incense burning here? Because I'm having trouble breathing. There's something burning. It's from the kitchen. All right. Anyway, as long as it's not incense, I'm fine. Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru are authoritative references to apply in ascertaining the level of advancement of a devotee. Sadhu means other devotees, Shastra means the scriptures, and Guru or other gurus. And we can ascertain someone from that standpoint. So, there's an authorization process in ISKCON law that authorizes someone to become a guru or take the position of guru, but it doesn't certify them in terms of their own God realization. In other words, if someone's appointed as a guru, that doesn't mean they're a pure devotee. It means they've been given the opportunity to do that service. I remember many years ago, one of my friends was appointed as a guru. allowed to become a guru. Let's not use the word appointment, although it's there. And the devotees came up to me and said, wow, when did he get his pure devotee initiation? And I said, if such an initiation is available, I will take it too. It's simply by taking initiation you can become a pure devotee. Wow. Because this is hard work. The other stuff is hard work. You know, chanting my rounds every day, waking up early, behaving myself. It's easier just to get initiation to be a pure devotee. So, anyway, so the GBC approval doesn't mean that someone is on a particular platform of devotional service. So the exercises we're going to be doing later in the second half, so we're not going to go through that right now. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. It's imperative that a serious person accepting a bona fide spiritual master in terms of Shastric injunction. Sri Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary social or ecclesiastical conventions. One should simply try to find a genuine qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. I mean, look at Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur came from a what family? Muslim family. And he was not really educated. But he was a fantastic guru. And you have other personalities too. I mean, let's take Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. What type of family did he come from? He was a Vaishya. And he was the guru of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Narottama Das Thakur, he came from a king's family, which at that time was considered a Shudra family. So we don't really consider social or ecclesiastical conventions. Prabhupada said, don't require a large definition. What is a guru? Vedic knowledge gives you indication. The same quote we had before, Tad Vijnanartham. If you want to know the science of spiritual life, Tad Vijnanartham Sagarameva Vigachet, Mundaka Upanishad, you must approach a guru. And who is a guru? Guru means who is the faithful servant of God. Very, very simple. Okay. So anyone have any questions about this before we go on to the next section? So we're going to cover the next section in the slides too? Or we're going to... How many sections are we going to do in the slides? Three, okay. So any questions about this? Yes, Daddy Boucher. Is there a portable... Oh, we don't have a portable mic.
Prabhupada said that to be a guru is very easy. Why should people be strict? This is his word.
Yeah.
What is
little bit strict? Little bit strict means rising early every morning, chanting your rounds every day, following the four regulative principles, reading the shastras. That's very little. Prabhupada said if you knew all the rules and regulations, like you've read the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it has all these different details that basically we don't follow. Prabhupada said you would faint if you knew all these different details. So Prabhupada said he was asked by Allen Ginsberg. Anyone's heard of Allen Ginsberg before? Allen Ginsberg was a very pukka person. Pukka means like straightforward? No. Allen Ginsberg was into intoxication. He had attraction to people of the same sex. You know, he was propagating that as something very wonderful and spiritual. And Allen Ginsberg said to Prabhupada, you are very strict, Swamiji. And Prabhupada said, no, I am very lenient. So from Prabhupada's perspective, it's very few, simple, easy to follow rules and regulations. From the perspective of the normal Western person, too much. Four regulative principles, which we'll be talking about in the next segment. That's just like dying. Like the Marquis de Jutland was approached by Prabhupada's godbrother, and this Marquis, he's an Englishman, he said, how to become a Brahmin, Swamiji? And Swamiji said, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And the Marquis of the Jetlands said, impossible. So it depends on what perspective you're looking at things from. From Prabhupada's perspective, it's very easy. From the perspective of Malacha, very hard. So, yes. It was a test because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was ordered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to take initiation from Gurgashodas Babaji Maharaj. And Gurgashodas Babaji Maharaj did not want to accept any disciples. In fact, he would chant instead of on beads on some cloth that he had tied knots to. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him, he refused like two or three times. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you don't accept me, I'm going to end my life. And then finally Gurkashodas Babaji agreed to accept him. So it was a test, the determination. Now, I think most of the times ISKCON gurus don't subject the disciples to the same sort of test. I think we're a little more lenient than that. Yes?
You mentioned statistics of 40% of women gurus.
Yeah.
And I didn't catch in which line how. Can you explain a little bit more?
40%, if we go through all the branches of the Chaitanya tree, not only the main trunk and what the personalities we see or read about in our books, but if you go through all the branches and sub-branches, you'll find somewhere around 40% were ladies. I mean, they weren't, in general, other than people like Janavamata, they weren't like these Mahagurus. Mahaguru. Big guys. And they weren't, I mean, they weren't like traveling around the world. But Janavamata was traveling everywhere in India and giving initiation. Most of them were like in the village or amongst their own family or amongst their own associates. Because there is a difference between male psychology and female psychology. And basically even Janavamata, when she traveled, she was always protected by the males in her entourage, especially her son, Virabhadra. So it's not that she was independent in traveling without protection, because one of the aspects of Vedic culture is protection of women. Extremely important aspect of Vedic culture. Yes?
Since you just mentioned female psychology, or both male and female psychology, different psychologies, had we had female gurus from the very beginning in ISKCON, would it be more appropriate that ladies accept female gurus and men?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, I think we need to choose gurus, not that I think, I know we need to choose gurus based on the criteria mentioned here. Not imposing artificial material criteria on things. I mean, whatever works for us, there has to be communication, there has to be faith, and I would have no problem accepting Janavamata as my guru. For example, one of the ladies who may become a guru in the future, her name is Narayani. Some of you know Narayani. I mean, she has the whole Bhagavatam memorized. I would have no trouble accepting her as guru. I mean, she is just, I've known her since 1971. You know, and she's probably the steadiest devotee, one of the steadiest devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. So, I mean, I don't see the difference in that way spiritually between men and women. Any other question? Anyway, that has nothing to do with this seminar, but yeah. Yeah.
What I ask what senior is working now for a lady, what is more important, her relationship with her guru or her relationship with her husband? And he said definitely with her husband, and this is sending shastras.
There's ritualistic shastras, the smriti shastras who do say that, and ultimately the Vaishnava. I mean, Prabhupada even said that a lady should stay with her husband if the husband is fallen. Please don't. None of you ladies take this. Please. If the husband is fallen to become a demon, the lady should reject her husband. I was just hearing, actually, because I hear every day the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told his daughter that you have, and his wife, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, told her daughter that you have now become a widow. In other words, reject your husband because your husband has offended Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I don't think we have to like have some sort of dispute between the guru and the husband or anything like that. We don't want to go there. But the orders of Krishna and the order coming through the guru are more important than anything else in our lives for everybody. You know, women are also spirit souls, right? When I last checked. Of course, the bona fide guru is not going to put his disciple, who happens to be a lady, in that position where they have to choose unless the husband become an absolute, absolute envious offender at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, bona fide guru doesn't put someone in that situation. Like either me or him. It's not really the way to do things. Bona fide guru says, follow your husband, serve your husband, and remain in married life. Bona fide guru never advocates. You got a surprise appearance. What's that, a message in the middle of the meeting? I'm not going to read it. I know, you could have given it to me later. So interrupts the class and says, "It's not urgent." Okay. Anyway.
Heavy with knowledge.
Yeah.
So in the case of Kalidas Thakur and Gorky Shop, Babaji, they were illiterate.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. TV show here.
Guru means heavy with knowledge. And in the case of Haridas Thakur and Gorkishor Das Babaji, they were illiterate. And as far as I know, Gorkishor Das Babaji could quote any Bhagavatam verse and so on. So it means also that realization also should be there for someone who is very advanced. I mean, I want to say with such advancement comes natural revelation of knowledge, or how it works.
With spiritual advancement, Yasmin Vigate Sarvam Evam Vigatam Bhavati. Does anyone know that verse? What does it mean? Yeah, with spiritual advancement in knowing Krishna means that you've actually heard. Even if you're illiterate, you can still hear Bhagavatam class and listen. And so Gorkishor Das Babaji Maharaj was illiterate, but he heard from great devotees. I mean, associated with Bhagavat Das Babaji, I mean, so many other great personalities. And you imbibe the philosophy by hearing. And if you know Krishna, then also Krishna gives you that realization. Adami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. What does that mean? Does anyone know? Where does that verse come from?
To those who serve me, I give intelligence with which they can come to me.
Yeah, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. Adami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So one must certainly have the realization and the knowledge to guide the disciple.
You know, he has to have knowledge of sadhana bhakti, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, and finally, prema bhakti. And that means, for us, the nectar of devotion. That's why Prabhupada said initially, before someone becomes guru, they should have a bhakti Vedanta degree, which means they have the bhakti Shastri degree, bhakti Vaibhava, and all those degrees, bhakti Sarvabhauma, etc. So that knowledge has to be there. And ISKCON right now is putting into place all these degree systems. In practically any other religious institution, before someone becomes a priest or minister, they have to graduate from some sort of university. And ISKCON will have that in the future in a very formal way. Right now it's up to the disciple to ascertain, you know, does my guru actually have the knowledge? So any other questions before we go to the next? Hear that, you ladies? So, that story is from the Markandeya Purana. And Prabhupada also cited that story. And what happened at the end was that the man realized there's more to the story than you told. The man realized, I got such a chaste wife, forget about this prostitute. And on the way back, He had leprosy. On the way back, he touched by accident Markandeya Rishi. And Markandeya Rishi cursed him to die before the sun rose the next day. And the lady said, I'm not going to let the sun rise the next day. And she stopped the sun from rising. So that's the power of a chaste lady. That she can stop the sun and moon. If you offend a chaste lady, just like you see in the Mahabharata war, the whole war was basically fought because Draupadi was offended. And Dhritarashtra had to watch his 100 sons get killed by Bhimsen. So one should be very careful around chaste ladies. I mean, I made one mistake in my life around a chaste lady. I'll tell you. There was one lady, a very good devotee, she had back problems. And one time I was just teasing her about her back problems. Guess what happened the next day? Yeah, I couldn't stand up or do anything. So Krishna said, better be careful. So, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under certain circumstances, the wife should remain chaste to him, but stay away from him. So we're not talking about divorce and remarriage. The lady should stay chaste to him, doesn't have to live with him. Does everyone understand that point? Okay, forget about marriages right now. Let's. I'm sannyasi. I don't know too much about these things. What?
I have two questions about compatibility.
Yeah.
I heard that if we are sincere,
Yes, theoretically. But let me give a practical example. Let us say I am interested in preaching Krishna consciousness in, this is going to be heavy, in the Western world. And everyone's here heard of Krishna West? And I'm very enthusiastic about, you know, adapting my style of dress. Just details. There's a difference between details and principles. So I should pick a guru who will be very enthusiastic about those particular details in preaching Krishna consciousness. So I may want to accept, wish I use a name, Vridhananda Maharaj is my spiritual master. Or, let's say on the other hand, if I happen to be of a conservative bent and I never want to wear any other clothes other than a dhoti, and let's say I'm really into, I'm not going to give a name for conservative because I'll get in trouble because I happen to be of the liberal bent. So let's say, you know, I'm very, very strict. You know, I spend 1/2 hour calling the Ganges to take my shower in the morning. I've had people like that. Seriously. I was waiting outside the bathroom one time. One brahmachari was showering. I said, come out already. No, the Ganges is coming. I said, the hell with the Ganges. I want to take a shower. Come to Mangalarti. So, if you're really into that, then you pick a guru who's into those details. Because I've seen, in many cases, people who are like very conservative and they have a very liberal guru, it causes conflicts. And sometimes those conflicts make their way onto the internet. So those are details. We have to be intelligent enough to understand the difference between details and essential principles. And nectar devotion gives us some insight into that, and older devotees give us some insight into that too. But, you know, we're what did the Prabhupada say? Unity and diversity. We have to be ready to appreciate others' approach in spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, let's say someone wants to use Western music to chant Hare Krishna with. What's wrong with that? Whereas other people may not want that. So you really have to think about things like that when choosing a guru. Because the guru may tell you, you're in Maya, or you may be thinking, the guru's in Maya. It happens. I'm dealing with one case like that, not with my disciple, with someone else who is a disciple of Vridhananda Maharaj right now on the internet. And it's going back and forth, and it's really ugly. It's really ugly, and there's offenses coming out. So, details, principles. Remember that. Details, principles. Details are important in terms of compatibility. That's my personal experience. I don't think it's there in the book, but it's very important principle for people to be aware of. Yeah. Yes, you.
You just said that we have to respect other people's approaches to preaching Krishna.
Yes.
My question is, what if that particular approach has been explicitly addressed by Prabhupada and he said no?
Well, the approach has been explicitly presented to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said no in every case. That's another thing. But you go through Prabhupada's Vedabase or the Bhaktivedanta Vedabase, you can often find quotes saying yes, no about the same thing. And we have these Vedabase fights all the time. Prabhupada said this. No, this is my quote. Prabhupada said that. So we have to understand time, place, and manner instructions that Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada said to one sannyasi, sannyasi's business is to always travel. Sannyasi should not stay in another place. That's an injunction. to another sannyasi, he said, you stay here and don't move. What are you going to do? Expand yourself? To carry out both instructions? So details. I think we have to get on to the next, because we have a limited amount of time. So where's my internet person?
It's already fixed.
Oh, it's fixed on the next one. You're a first class disciple. Knows the desire of the guru even without being asked. So now we're going to talk about our favorite subject, the vows we take at initiation. We have four regulated principles. No meat eating. I think you all know this stuff, right? I hope. No intoxication. No illicit sex. And no gambling. And so, you know, your Kali Yuga, when you eat meat, you lose your daya. What is daya? Compassion. And Prabhupada said the wars are due to people eating meat. And you take intoxication, you lose your sense of austerity. Bhagavatam gives a little different association, too. I mean, if any of you remember in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it gives a different correlation. But anyway, this is the right correlation. And no gambling, and if you gamble, you lose your sense of truthfulness. So all of, there's one common denominator between all these. As far as if you break these things, they all put you in the mode of ignorance or passion or mixed modes. And they're all harmful to your body, and they're all harmful to your mind, and we are trying to cultivate the mode of goodness. And in addition, they all give you bad karma. Everyone knows what karma is? Yeah, I hope so. So Prabhupada says, it's not very difficult to follow the four regulated principles. These things should be stopped if you want to be serious. Otherwise, make a farce and you do whatever you like. I cannot give you protection. That is not possible. So you must have to follow these rules and regulations. If you are serious, then take initiation. Otherwise, don't make farce. Don't make farce. That is my request. Prabhupada also talked about the principle of truthfulness, keeping one's vows. Prabhupada was shocked the first time people blooped. Bloop, you know what that is? That's when someone falls down. That's how Prabhupada came up with that expression. Because Prabhupada came from a high-class culture where promises are meant to be kept. In our culture, we break promises regularly, and we have this thing when we were young, we would cross our fingers behind our back. Did you ever do that? Do you promise? Oh, yeah, I promise. And that meant you didn't have to keep your promise. So we see that at initiation sometimes. What are the four regulated principles? How many rhymes? Like that. So Prabhupada was completely shocked when devotees fell down. When some lady ran away with another man, he was just shocked that these things happened. The first time he started crying. And then after that, he understood how low we are in the Western world. For the first few times, it was just, huh? How did this happen? That's the type of culture Prabhupada came from. Of course, we have 16 rounds, four regulated principles. Otherwise, someone is not his disciple. Someone cannot say they're Prabhupada's disciple because disciple means discipline unless they follow these things. So we don't want to do the exercises now. The exercises will be done later on. So Prabhupada also said, if you are unable to fulfill that promise to your spiritual master, what is the use of calling yourself a devotee and a disciple? That is simply pretending. So you should think like this, that I promised my spiritual master this. Now I must obey him without any exception. Otherwise, I have no business calling myself his disciple. So it's an austerity and tapasya that makes a very rapid advancement. Without austerity, there's no question of making advancement. But if you want to call yourself a devotee, serve Krishna in that capacity, You must avoid these four basic principle restrictions under all circumstances without exception. And Prabhupada gave the example here of the American game called baseball, three strikes, you're out. Prabhupada said, once, twice, Krishna may excuse, but that is not very difficult. But more than that, it will become very difficult for Krishna to excuse you, and there is great risk that everything will be lost despite all your time and effort spent. So I'm just going to summarize this. There's no prayaschitta. If one falls down, one simply starts chanting again. In other words, you don't have to go to the Himalayas and sit in the cold in the middle of the winter and stand on your head or something like that, or perform great austerities. Just chant Hare Krishna again if when you fall down. But hopefully you don't. Many quotes. Tug of war, don't be afraid of Maya. Simply, in other words, if you're taking shelter of Krishna, you don't have to be afraid of Maya, but normally we should be afraid of Maya. And you'll be conqueror, that's all. Krishna says, Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakta panashati. My devotee will never be vanquished by Maya. Maya cannot do anything. Simply, you have to become strong. And what is that strength? Chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, loudly. Yes, that's from a lecture. Okay, so as far as the regulative principles are concerned, one way to follow them, a very easy way to follow them, is you stay in the association of devotees. And then, if you're in the association of devotees will be looking at you. And because they're looking at you, you're probably not going to do anything bad. But if you take bad association, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Satsanga Chage Vaishnava Char, there's every chance that you'll deviate. Like Prabhupada said, if you go into a liquor store, you start drinking liquor. Or if you go into a place where they're smoking marijuana. I mean, for example, when we first started doing Sankirtan, we'd go to the college dormitories, and they were smoking marijuana there. And just by breathing the air, you would get intoxicated. So we had to just, like, hold our breath while preaching to the college students. So it's by association. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad jadmajonishu. As Krishna says in the Gita, the cause of our entanglement in this world is gunasanga. That means association with those in modes of nature. If you keep satsanga and you follow the rules and regulations and are very, very careful, then you will not fall down. And one of the ways that people deviate nowadays is with this new device called the computer. Because they go on the computer and there's so much allurement of different things, you know, women, men, whatever, and many devotees have get drawn into that consciousness. Or even if they're playing these video games, then I've seen many people develop an angry, envious, violent mentality from playing video games. So you have to be very, very careful nowadays. And look at Ajamil, how Ajamil deviated just because he saw a prostitute and Shudra embracing, just one little thing. But he would have been saved had he been in the association of devotees. I remember one time I was in Brazil, and one of the ladies wanted to drag one of the brahmacharis away from Krishna consciousness. Because in Brazil, they have a special way of doing it. It's called voodoo. Anyone's heard of voodoo? That's when you make little dolls of people and kiss them like that. So, it works. I lost one devotee that way. So, this lady, she had a lizard. You know what a lizard is? And she had an enchanted lizard, and she threw it at the brahmachari. And the brahmachari was going, seriously. And so we all went, hey, come back. Oh, thank you very much. I don't know what happened to me. So it's a true story. If you stay in the association of devotees, you're protected because you always have someone with you, but if you're separate, there's great danger. So this is the one of the main keys for following the regulated principles, and also perhaps the main key, because not always will you be with other devotees, is your sense of identity. If you identify yourself as the enjoyer, Ishwaroham Hombogi Siddoham Balavan Sukhi, then you're going to see everything out there as an object of enjoyment. But if you identify yourself as a servant of Krishna, that self-identification, I'm a servant of Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. Like if you're a man, all those ladies belong to Krishna. They can't belong to me. Or if you're a woman, all those men belong to Krishna. They can't belong to me. So they're not meant for my pleasure, they're meant for Krishna's pleasure. So if you have that sense of identification, I am Krishna's servant, and the servant of my spiritual master, you will be able to follow. Very, very important principle. Okay, any questions about the four regular principles? Yes.
I recently spoke with one devotee about this subject matter, and we came to about protecting also our leaders, because Maya is attacking more than, I mean, if they attack us, we are nobody, at least I. And he said that in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they have system that sannyasi cannot be alone. He has a brahmachari or sannyasi with him always. Mm-hmm. And he can only be 2 hours per day alone, completely. Is in ISKCON also will be something for, because it make more damage to society when leaders are
right. Attacked
than regular devotees?
Well, if someone would pay for someone to travel with me, I'd be extremely happy. It costs about 12,000 euros a year, so I'd be happy. And it's a good system, but it may not be practical based upon people who travel, you know, financially. I mean, it's actually quite a good system to have devotees around you, yes. And that's been recommended. Also, because we don't have that right now, we have this mentor system amongst the older devotees, like a buddy system where we report on each other. For example, my buddy, that's funny, my buddy is Jai Pataka Maharaj, just to let you know. He came to me and said, "Will you be my buddy?" I said, "Sure. We should share everything, including all the money." So, he didn't like that one. So, so he's my buddy, and then also I'm buddies with Sri Dayananda Maharaj, Krishna West, Kijai. So, we have this buddy system where we check on each other in lieu of that. But yes, it would be good to have two sannyasis and travel. And I know I'm very happy when I have some of my godbrothers around me. Remember, sometimes I'm in Slovenia and I have Paladananda Maharaj with me, and we're great friends and we joke with each other. It's just very sweet too. It's not only the question of protection, it's the question of just, it's sweet. It's just, I really enjoy being with my godbrothers. And with all the devotees, with my godbrothers especially, you know, people like Paladananda Maharaj, Jatataka Maharaj, Satchinananda Maharaj, and all these devotees, you know, that's the most enjoyable part of the GBC meeting. Everything else is torture. No. Yeah.
At one point you said that it is easy to follow the regulatory principles and the association of the devotees, but sometimes devotees can be also very harsh to the devotees who are not following something. I just heard a story where a devotee told me that devotees come, go in Sankirtan and they distribute book to butcher, and they're very happy, "Oh, I distributed the book to butcher." But when devotee breaks the regulatory principles, some devotees sometimes tend to be mm-hmm. very harsh, like, really like, "Oh, you are like the demon number one, something like this. So, can you tell something about this?
Well, with others, we should not be judgmental. With ourselves, we can be judgmental, but with others, we should be very compassionate. I mean, I deal with this all the time, that, you know, devotees somehow or other slips from the higher standard, and we just have to encourage them. Oh, I started chanting 4 rounds a day. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, just be very, very positive, because if you're judgmental, you drive people away from Krishna consciousness. So we, at the same time, you know, sometimes we need a little bit of a slap, a stick. You know, sometimes it requires some discrimination. It's not that always, you know, oh, you're smoking marijuana. Well, reduce it to one joint a day. You know, but Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada talked about, you know, smoking. When he was talking to someone, he said, well, gradually reduce the amount of cigarettes that you're smoking. So it requires some discrimination. Prabhupada sometimes is very happy, sometimes very heavy with people. Sometimes a devotee would come with a beard and Prabhupada, or mustache, and Prabhupada said, you're not my disciple because you're against the principle. So, you know, Prabhupada had that discrimination when to be heavy and when not to be heavy. Can you imagine? You know, someone had a mustache and they had so many excuses. They said to Prabhupada, but you had a mustache, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that was before I took initiation. Anyone who has facial hair, Prabhupada said, is not my disciple, because he's against the principle. The principle is following the guru. Not the facial hair is not the principle, that's a detail. But the principle is following the guru's instructions. So, any other questions? Yes. Right. One is by having good sadhana in the morning, which is extremely important. Another way is the self-identification that I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm doing this work to please Krishna. I'm in the workplace to please Krishna. Another way is by experiencing compassion towards the people, seeing Shastra Chakshush, seeing through the eyes of Shastra that these people are actually suffering. They're feeling great anxiety. Another way is perhaps chanting in the mind. Another way is putting your headset on and listening to Krishna Katha. I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can do, but one thing that I find particularly effective is chanting in my mind. And that really protects me. There are no thoughts other than Krishna consciousness enter into your mind when the holy name is there. It's very easy. You train yourself. What I try to do is I train myself to chant all day long, at least when I'm not giving a seminar, because I couldn't do that. But when I get up in the morning, I chant. When I go to sleep, I try to chant myself to sleep. And that way the holy name is always on our lips. You can do that, you can be aseptic. In other words, you won't be affected by any of these things. But it is a challenge. It is a challenge. I mean, sometimes, of course, I don't have to do normal work like in the outside world. Sometimes I have to associate with my family. I just went to a funeral of one of my family members, and, you know, they weren't always talking about Krishna. I don't think they talked about Krishna one time. So, and they were talking about mundane things and everything, and I just had to, you know, several things went through my mind. One is Hare Krishna, like that. Another thing was, Krishna, get me out of here as soon as possible. You know, I minimize my association with him. I mean, for example, when I go to visit mundane relatives, which are all mundane in my case, I just do it very quickly. I don't spend like 2 weeks with them. One day I'm in and out. Anyway, it's up to the individual has to figure out a strategy. Any other questions before we go on to the next chapter? What's that? You don't. So we could do that tomorrow. So we should end now and go through the exercises. So yeah, we can take another question or two, because we're going to stick with these two chapters and do the exercises based on these two chapters down there. But we can take some more questions, because it'll end in about 5-10 minutes.
Can you clarify this about Prabhupada and beer? And if you have a disciple who has a master chant, would you accept him as a disciple still?
I'm not, you
said this is principle to following guru, you know. I don't understand very well now.
I would explain Prabhupada's principles. I mean, from my particular psychology, I don't reject people. I mean, I'm just maybe a little sentimental. I have one of my godbrothers, when someone would deviate from Krishna consciousness, he would take away their spiritual name. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. It's not so funny. But anyway, one of my disciples decided to run away one day. And he left his sikha on a bed. And there was this note, "Don't try to find me. You'll never find me." Okay, it took me about a half hour to figure out where he was. So I called him up on the phone, and he was at his mother's house, which was 5 hours away. It was in Baltimore, Maryland. It's close to Washington, D.C. And the reason I'm telling you that, it relates to the story. So I said to him, "Hey, I'm going to New York. Can I stop off on the way to New York just to say hello to you?" And he said, "Sure, you can stop off." So I wasn't going to New York. It was just a lie. So I stop off and I said, "You're coming with me." And he couldn't say no. You know, I just picked him up, put him in the car. His mother and father were crying. "How can you do this to my son?" And so then we got in the car, and I said, "All right, we're driving back south." And he said, "I thought you were going to New York." And I said, "Oh, I changed my mind." So on the way driving back south, we stopped and saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was right an hour away from Baltimore. You know, he and I are old friends. And I said, "Well, this is my disciple, so-and-so." And he looked at him and said, "If you were my disciple, I would have taken your name away from you by now." It's very heavy. You know, so there's different moods. I'm not saying one thing is right, one thing is wrong. And, you know, basically this devotee sort of grabbed me. "Oh, Gurudev." "Save me." But it was good, because it's good for the uncle to be heavier than the father. So that was actually very good. I very much appreciate that. And to this day, he's stuck with Krishna consciousness. So success story. So even Lord Chaitanya, when he was touring South India, his disciple was taken away by these Bhattaharis, these gypsies who lured people away with ladies. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, and he dragged him back. And so, and then Prabhupada also, when a disciple would return, Prabhupada would cry and be happy to see them back. So, you know, there's different ways, you know. So I tend not to be that heavy.
All right. I want to say, is it for that for at that time there was not so many congregational devotees in Prabhupada's time? I mean, only some Indians here and there, and Prabhupada maybe was much more stricter. He was strict because devotees were full-time devotees, you know. And now there are more. Most of them are congregational members. Maybe is it okay to be a bit more lenient and toward them?
It was an important principle with Prabhupada to be clean shaven, and I think we should stick with that principle.
Okay about that, but some other things like Krishna, let's say about Krishna West, who, you know, clothes is different. Then, you know, Prabhupada even said to sannyasis and other devotees they should have some also proper.
Right, and then other times Prabhupada said different things, but about beards,
yeah.
Prabhupada didn't say anything different.
Okay.
There's like I said, there's quotes on both sides of the clothes issue, but there's no quotes on both sides of the beard issue. So,
and Sika also, Prabhupada said, well,
Sika. Sika, flag.
Yeah, flag, yeah.
Shot flag, Sika. I mean, your Sika doesn't have to be that big. The ladies have big Sikas. But, you know, Prabhupada's Sika was just like a few little hairs, because Prabhupada didn't have much hair. So, yes, yeah, these things are important. Sika and Tilak. And Kanti Mala. Yeah, Krishna West is not against those things. So, yes. Yes, but here we're talking about initiation. Initiation is something that we require the four regulated principles in 16 rounds. And Prabhupada never deviated from that particular point. We know that there's some gaudier groups who offer cheaper initiation. They say, you know, chant whatever you want to chant, just keep the beads a little warm. That's one statement they made. Just keep the beads a little warm. And that may be fine, but it's not. You're not a follower of Prabhupada then. You know, if you want to be initiated in Prabhupada's branch of the Gaudiya Vaidya Sampradaya, you have four regulated principles and 16 rounds. It's simple like that. I mean, there is extenuating circumstances if you're in a coma, for example. You know what a coma is? I mean, on a practical basis, I make some leniency for ladies who have babies. You know, just talking practically. But that has to be done on a personal one-to-one basis. But under normal circumstances, if you have the time, and everyone has the time somehow or other, except for people who are in these certain extenuating circumstances, people should chant their 16 rounds, and certainly the four regulated principles. Okay, just one other question, yeah.
On what basis should I assess my compatibility with spiritual master?
Well, now we're talking about details rather than principles. You should look at the way the spiritual master guides his disciples and the strategies that he uses for spreading Krishna consciousness and see if it's a good fit for you. And you also, there's a question of the heart too. It's not just like up there in the brain. You have to feel some connection with the person. And we're not just like one big brain and stomach like Kabanda. You know who Kabanda is? Kabanda is one of the demons in the Ramayana. He was just a big mouth and a head. Oh, he had arms 8 miles long, so he could eat prasadam. But he made the mistake of trying to eat Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman. So we have a heart too, and you know there has to be heart connection too, and that's something that is not intellectual or in the mental platform like that. It has to be inspiration. So that, I think that's an important point too. Although use your intelligence, because there's a lot of things that inspire us that may not be good for us. Like World Cup. Of course, I'm not inspired by that. Certain people are. All right. So on that happy note, we're going to have our next session in 10 minutes down there. And the 20 people are invited to come who have their little booklets. I guess other people, if they want to watch from some distance, they can watch what we're doing to get an idea of what the course is like. But these are the people who are going to be certified either as teachers or students or be ready to take initiation. Okay, thank you. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.